Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mdiwa Gavaza, and for today, we are talking about something that is very important within the context of the South African economy as we try to bounce back, trying to claw back some of the losses that were induced by the COVID-19 pandemic, as well as some of the riots from earlier on this year, whilst at the same time acknowledging the fact that the South African economy was already not growing at a very high rate even before we got into the COVID-19 pandemic. And that is the issue of small businesses in South Africa, but more importantly, how these businesses are funded in South Africa and where, you know, they find access to those funds, because they are funds for different purposes. You might just need working capital, you might need actual capital to expand your operation or your business. You might need to invest in systems and infrastructure. Whatever it is, access to funding remains one of the biggest impediments that is affecting small businesses in South Africa. Now, to talk to us about what's going on right now, why some of these gaps still exist, and maybe some of the things that can be done to solve some of these issues, we are joined by Lelani Basson, who is Managing Director for the Academy and Venture Departments over at My Growth Fund Venture Partners. My Growth Fund Venture Partners, we recently had Vusi Tembekwayo, who is their CEO, earlier this year. Also, touching briefly when they opened up a 350 million rand debt facility for small businesses affected by riots earlier this year. And I think today we'll be talking more broadly just around what's going on in the funding landscape. Lelani, greetings to you today.
Thank you for having me. How are you doing today?
No, we're doing all right on this end, but it seems that the small businesses out there aren't doing quite as well as we would hope them to do, especially if we're saying that they are these engines of growth in South Africa. But before we get into all of that, we have a rough idea now, because we've had your colleague earlier on the show from My Growth Fund Venture Partners. But maybe when it comes to the Academy and the Venture Departments, maybe you can tell us a little bit about the type of work that you guys are doing there before we begin, just so that we have the context around where this discussion is coming from.
So I think the answer to that is quite simple, and also really relates to the topic that we need to discuss this morning, is that we sat back and we identified certain gaps within the playing field. And so what we do, we have an academy that's based on, we've partnered with Harvard Managed Mentor and Enterprise Dynamics to be able to offer 42 on-demand courses to SMEs in Africa. So, and it's at a fraction of the cost. It's almost nothing. we almost have like a bit of a, I would say like a buffet style or a fruit basket, where we can we've got various technology platforms, various administrative platforms, coaching, mentoring elements in there as well. And, different sort of like partners around specific content that's required for a specific industry, as an example. And we kind of cherry pick from the basket to be able to create a tailored solution for the either SMEs that we're working with or corporates who we're partnering with in order to deliver the ESD programs.
All right. Now, because we are a business platform, a curiosity arises as you're describing the type of benefit and value proposition that you are offering to people, because you say that you are able to do this at a fraction of the cost. The question is how? Simply because, as you said, this stuff tends to come at quite a bit of a cost. How are you guys able to do that and still remain in business?
Well, so the HMM relationship really is, the platform was built for Fortune 500 companies years ago. So to me, one, I think it's for them, it's a sunk cost because the platform is built. And Enterprise Dynamics, who are our partners, Professor Kwesi de Villiers, he holds the license for Africa because he actually helped develop parts of that platform. And so they've given him the rights to on-sell this into the African space. And it's part of it, you know, I think also part of it is there might be some sort of a development element to it as well, that we're able to do it and offer it at that price. So it's basically just through our partnership networks that we've established and put agreements into place with.
Okay. No, that's fine. I think we definitely understand, you know, where you guys are coming from and how all of that is working. Now, with that in mind, then why are we still talking about the troubles that small businesses face when it comes to funding? Because this has been an issue for almost time immemorial. At least if we're going to talk about, you know, the context of an independent South Africa, it seems this has been an issue that people have been crying about, you know, for decades now. Why are we still, talking about this in 2021? How come we haven't solved this issue yet?
Yeah, it's actually sad that we are still grappling with it, but that is the truth and the harsh realities of now. So as you know, politicians especially have put out entrepreneurs as the future saviors, the lifeblood of the economy, the heroes of the modern times. And it was also, they also looked to SMEs during, if we go back to the 2008 recession, where the money was on entrepreneurs saving the day. But we didn't learn much from those events, because right now where we are with COVID-19, there's been no real, I almost want to say growth or development, real access to financing that was created for SMEs. A lot of it was sugarcoated. A lot of it was people took the easy way out.
Lelani, as we are talking about what are the issues, you know, going on the ground and all of that, where are the actual gaps, right? What are people getting wrong? Is it a fault on the side of the entrepreneurs? You know, is it ignorance? Is it the fact that people don't know how to write a nice business proposal? Is it the fact that people just aren't aware about which government department, which bank, which venture capitalist, they should go and get money from? People don't know how to pitch. People don't know how to do an elevator pitch. People aren't winning pitching competitions. Whatever it is, right? Please may you illuminate for us just a little bit around where some of the funding gaps are at the moment and why we find ourselves still talking about this issue in 2021.
Well, Madiba, you know, I think I'll start off with that there's a lack of resources for entrepreneurs. In many of these situations, and the reality is really understood, especially by those who are in power to move capital. And as you know, nothing happens until the capital moves, right? So in fact, there was a report done in 2018 where only 6% of entrepreneurs received government money, and a mere 9% had received funding from non-governmental sources. Township and township-based entrepreneurs in particular struggle to access traditional sources of capital. Within our firm at My Growth Fund, we see it every day. Although it may not be deliberate, many of these businesses are kept in the dark about how to access or apply for funding that could aid their enterprises. And this extends to other things such as mentorship and support and coaching and creating networks for access. But there are more gaps. So for instance, if we look at funding platforms, most of them require that businesses need to be registered, that they be taxed and UIF compliant, and further requirements, including 6 months bank statements and financial projections. Now, for businesses that are in distress already, the eligibility is, as most of these are unable to tick all of the boxes, right? So many of them aren't eligible to tick all of these boxes, because when they come to you for some form of funding, whether it is, debt financing and so forth, they're already in distress. And these prerequisites need to be relaxed, and they need to be relaxed fast. These application requirements must be less stringent. You know, we talk about in many instances, you have applications that come in, or rather, I would say like a VC needs to adhere to all of the requirements that a private equity deal would be. So there's just absolutely no way that the VC actually has a chance to stand up for that. There is, in fact, plenty of money out there, Local and international investors alike are queuing to find innovative venture to put their money behind. Regrettably, the way lending institutions determine who receives the funding is heavily, heavily biased against the young entrepreneur, which introduces another gap, the one of misleading information. Funding requirements are often ambiguous, and many don't know where to seek help for clarity.
You know, that's actually quite a dire state of affairs when you actually think about it, because from what you've said, these sound like relatively simple types of problems that people are facing, you know, things that, you know, with enough information on hand, people could simply just, you know, find the right find the right office, find the right bank, find the right venture capitalist. Of course, in certain cases, like you said, there is a certain level of discrimination that is being practiced, especially against young people in particular. But talking about those young people, who are the entrepreneurs at the moment, right? Who are actually trying to seek funding? Is it all businesses across the board? Is it the fast growing tech startups that we keep hearing about, you know, that one day become the Ubers and the Facebooks of this world? Is it informal businesses? Is it boutiques? Is it hair businesses? What are you guys seeing on the ground about the type of entrepreneurs that are either getting funding or the ones that are struggling at the moment?
So I think if to answer that question, one would probably have to look at the different definitions of the entrepreneur. So in an informal business, they generally speak, they are not registered, have a small asset base, and are run, as a definition would suggest, informally employed workers. On the other hand, a small business is considered one that employs under 50 employees, has a turnover of roughly anything between 2 and 25 million, and holds an asset base ranging from 2 to 4.5 million. For us, really, it's the entrepreneur in the middle, in between that, that's really the ones that that's the element for concern. And generally speaking, these businesses employ 1 to 20 people. They have a turnover that ranges from survival to less than 2 million and are likely registered, but often not fully compliant. So looking at that sort of like landscape of those three, right, I think what to answer your question is that we're seeing startups, we're seeing those that are, you know, are perhaps ready for growth across all sectors, across all three of those. The sad reality around it, obviously, is their access to, one, the information, two, to infrastructure, and, you know, in terms of operating their businesses, and three, there's a huge education gap as well. So it's really, you know, it's difficult to pinpoint around which type of businesses, but it's generally across the board. And if we look at I probably just want to give you another stat here. If we, according to the Companies and Intellectual Property Commission, the CIPC, 510,000 companies were registered in 2020. So one would think, well, and that's a staggering leap of about, yeah, just over 30% from 2019. So one would think that, wow, that's, you know, it's in line. It's in line with what politicians are saying around job creation. It's in a line where the captains of industries are saying that we need, you know, support in the supply chain value around enterprise developments, et cetera, et cetera. But at face value, one would argue there's alignment, but when in reality, it signals distress, alarming distress. And the distress is caused by the aftermath of the recent recessions. And by adding COVID to the mix, it's a recipe for disaster. So we're sitting with a staggering leap in the number of businesses being created. And really, in most instances, there's no door to where funding is available.
When it does come to the businesses that do find the funding, right? Because like what you've just outlined, all of the different ways in which people are struggling to actually access that funding, and you know some of the lapses in judgment, and also the education factor. And though it might be hard to actually, what's the word I'm looking for? Though it might be hard to actually say who these entrepreneurs are, I'm sure at the moment, there are some types of funding that are more popular than others. What does the data tell us around the types of funding that people are actually getting access to? And, you know, I think let's start there.
Yeah, I think the long and the short of that is probably debt funding, which is to me also another signal of distress, because what you're doing is that the entrepreneur then falls in this trap of a perpetual cycle around debt. So, and once again, with that, the education gap is in terms of how do you, once you have this funding, how do you best apply that funding within your business? So, and many don't have that, you know, that education gap exists as well. So how do you really work with finances? What does a healthy cash flow look like? How do I need to manage that cash flow, et cetera, et cetera? So it's alarming that there is so much money out there, but the deployment of those funds to entrepreneurs, I think, if I remember correctly, it's something like 6% that of entrepreneurs that were actually able to access government funding. Yeah, so it's alarming.
It certainly does sound alarming from what you're saying. And I'm just thinking about all of the people that are struggling to find funding. And one of the most interesting things that you've said, I think more than once now, throughout this discussion, is that there's so much funding out there. I mean, if I was a small business owner, I might be sitting right now thinking to myself, what? You know, Lelani's saying that there's a lot of funding out there. Where is this funding? How do I access this funding? So maybe you could give us some insight on that end about what you call this, what you mean by there's a lot of funding out there. Because and the reason I say that is because at least in the technology space where we hear about the big funding deals and the Series A's, B's and C's, we are getting a lot of South African startups, for example, that are accessing funding with overseas investors and venture capitalists. But from what you're saying, you know, are we saying that those types of businesses could actually access the same amount of money here? Or are we saying that it's only certain types of businesses where we can say there's adequate funding that is available locally?
So I think the problem is actually a little bit larger than that, right? So when I say that there is funding, there is money available in South Africa, there's a couple of elements around that. So for instance, the holders of the capital that I spoke about earlier, those the gatekeepers of the money, right? The stringent requirements, that's part of that's part of the equation that needs to be changed, and it needs to be changed fast, right? The eligibility criteria needs to be amended so that it comes in support of the entrepreneur in the end of the day. So that's what I mean about it is there. The sad reality around it is that those holders of capital are probably not working fast enough to relax those requirements so that they can match up with the entrepreneur. Because that's sort of like the, you know, where we were going with that. Because once we talk about funding from an outside of the country, right, it's obviously it's there and it's possible, it's cheaper and it's quicker, but that's on a large scale and not so much for that missing middle of SME that I spoke about earlier, you know, the ones that employ between 2 and 20 people and have a turnover of survival to 2 million. So that's where the disconnect is in terms of the funding.
Yeah, that sounds like a proper disconnect. And I think that might be a good place for us to end off because I can imagine that someone who is listening to this, or someone who is in the funding, in the world of funding, on the other side of the aisle, so to say, would probably argue that relaxing funding requirements, or whatever those stringent requirements that you're describing, is a safeguard for them to actually ensure that their capital goes into the right hands, but at the same time to mitigate the risk, because we know that institutions like banks, for example, very risk averse and always doing everything in their power to mitigate risk. You know, what would you say to, you know, to institutions like that? They'll probably say, oh no, but Lani, we want to give the money, but people might just need to meet our requirements, because at the end of the day, we need to be able to recover our money, or at least get a return on our investment.
Yeah, you see, that's part of the problem, right? Is that you're spot on in terms of the risk profile, right? But what I'm saying is that as long as that's going to be the status quo, we can't at the same time shout from the hilltops that entrepreneurs, SMEs, will be saving the day because they're the lifeblood of the economy, they're the backbone of the economy, et cetera, et cetera. So we're screaming from the hilltops that this is the answer, but nowhere are these businesses being supported. And it requires that everybody comes to the table, because in order for this needle to move and for us all to make significant social impact, it will take a collaborative approach to reconfiguring obsolete components of our economic system. Not only will this help buffer the worst effects of the current crisis in people's livelihoods, but it should also assure a quicker economic recovery for everyone. So it really needs a seismic collaborative effort of all players within the industries to come to put, you know, tangible solutions on the table. But as long as the banks with the risk profile, they're actually not a solution for the SME, because it's very little can actually access that funding. Something needs to be done.
Something does need to be done indeed. As we end off, Lelani, just as a quick follow-up to what you've just said, as we move forward, what would you think is something that can either quickly be addressed, or you think is the most important thing that needs to be addressed just to get this issue on the right track, to actually for it to be solved tangibly from what you can see? Because throughout this discussion, you've described a lot of different issues and challenges that are being faced. So what's that one thing that you think would actually move that needle?
Okay, well, can I give you two?
Sure.
So I think it would be for various sources of funding to be centralized, well advertised, and readily available in local vernaculars. In addition, consideration should be given to how loans saddle the SME owner with extra debt, and maybe look at some sort of like grant parameters perhaps. And then also, I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty surrounding the timing of this pandemic. At the climax in South Africa, in both township and informal settlement, entrepreneurs will need a major overhaul of mindset and infrastructure if they are to be the job make creators that policymakers are hoping for. And I think just in closing that off, I would say, as a basic starting point, corporates more generally could enable SMEs by focusing their supplier development for longer term scale and competitiveness. That's the quick win.
All right. So that was us with Lelani Basson, who is from My Growth Venture Partners, giving us some insight into the state of the funding landscape for small businesses in and around South Africa, giving us some insight into some of the challenges that are being faced. Even in 2021, the problem of access to funding still remains a problem. And that's a problem because some of these things should have been solved a long time ago. And from what she's saying, a lot of the issues are quite simple to actually solve, but it needs a collaborative effort, both from government, the entrepreneurs, and corporates to actually solve the issue, highlighting things such as reducing some of the stringent requirements that are usually imposed on entrepreneurs for funding, maybe doing a little bit more to increase supplier development, incorporating small businesses into supply chains for large corporates. At the same time, she does say that where there is funding and where it is available, there should be more efforts being made about advertising that and letting the entrepreneurs who would be eligible actually know what's going on the ground. Lelani, thank you so much for being with us. We look forward to having another discussion, maybe around government funding specifically, maybe around venture capital in a particular, and what the right source of funding should be within the context of South Africa.
Thank you so much, Madiwa. I really appreciated the time with you all today. And yes, I look forward to being back as soon as possible.
This is Madiwa's Take.
A very important discussion that we are going to continue having. This is something we've spoken about a number of times on the Business Day Spotlight, this issue of funding and small businesses. If we're saying that these are engines of growth within the South African economy, and we're saying that they're such big employers, we're saying that these are going to be sources of incomes for many South Africans around the country, then we need to make sure that more is done to actually fund these businesses so that more of them can pop up, more of them can grow, more of them can scale, more of them can become sustainable businesses that eventually either grow to become large corporates one day, or at least are enough to stay in business and grow to whatever scale that they can, you know, simply because the more businesses that grow, the more employment opportunities, the more money that's in people's pockets, the more the GDP grows, the more that the economy, we always talk about the economy being, have the cyclical nature of the economy, that one thing does affect another. The more that you drive, money in one direction, the more you increase savings, which is available for investment, which is available for saving. The more that you also drive things like consumption, which also in turn grow other businesses, and the cycle continues like that. So, in particular, this issue around just educating people, but the stringent requirements, that is a tough one simply because of the nature of financial services institutions. South Africa has one of the most sophisticated financial services industries in, on the continent. And to actually ask them to reduce some of their conditions because they are risk mitigating by nature, it becomes a little bit tough, to think about things from, that point of view. But something would need to be done just in recognition of the type of issues that small businesses are facing, the funding requirements that do exist, and at the same time just recognizing the fact that putting such stringent requirements will not always lead to the outcomes that the country needs. So people always talk about a developmental agenda, and one sort of gets the sense that this is one of those issues where that approach kind of seems like it's something that could work, but the right guarantees would need to be in place just to make sure that from a risk mitigation point of view, the financial institutions, for example, are ticking their boxes. And then we then move on to the different types of finances that are there. Looking forward to, talking a little bit more to such businesses, such companies that are working to solve this issue and the problem. And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.